All right. Jason Turbo is with us. I've known Jason for years. He's a wonderful sports fan. He's a good writer. And he's got a new book out. It's called Dynastic Bombastic. Reggie, Raleigh, Catfish, and Charlie Finley, Swinging A's, fantastic. So dynamic, bombastic, fantastic. Jason Turbo, T-U-R-B-O-W. And he also is the author of The Baseball Codes, which was an outstanding book. I remember all the research that Jason did while that book was coming out. But I want to tell you something, Pat. And I came to California in 1972, so this team was there. And I was an Oriole fan.
Yep.
And they beat the Orioles, and I was reading the 74 playoff thing, you know, that against Doyle Alexander, and it came back to me when they beat him. But I want to tell you, this is an outstanding book. It's really well done. And I've read a bunch of books about that period of time. Ron Bergman wrote one, and Bruce Markison wrote one. And they're wonderful, and they have their moments. But this one actually speaks to you. And that's what I like about it. So, Jason, congratulations on the good book.
Thank you, Marty. So nice. Yeah, those other books are great, like you said. I mean,
yeah,
I use them for
spot.
Research.
Yeah.
The only thing they don't have is perspective, because every book about this team came out before 1975.
Right.
So this was a great look back.
All right. So it's about the A's and the Charlie Finley days. So let me let you tell the fans about some of the highlights of the story and what you really enjoyed writing about.
Man, well, when I began this project, I was looking at it from the standpoint of this being an underserved yet transformational team. They took baseball almost single-handedly out of the sport we picture in the 1950s and brought it right into the sport we picture in the late 1970s. But the more I dug in, the more I realized that the day-to-day drama would have made for a fantastic book, even if this was a last-place team, let alone the only three-time champion at the time, other than the New York Yankees. We have Vida Blue. I mean, you guys know Vida well. Was at the center of everything, some mercurial guy. Reggie Jackson, Raleigh Fingers, Catfish Hunter. It was a team that thrived on confrontation with each other. They pushed each other incessantly to be better. And they pushed so hard that occasionally they would push too far. And egos and sometimes faces would get bruised. This is a team that's known for it's clubhouse fights against each other.
So that was true.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, these guys, every one of them will say, you know, we didn't fight as much as they say we did.
Come on.
We really loved each other. And then I go through the list of their fights, and they go, yeah, well, I guess.
Can you imagine that today?
No, you couldn't do it.
Can you imagine that today?
Couldn't do it.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And part of it was that they had such a good relationship with the media that, you know, they would tell the stories.
Right.
You know, the reporters weren't always there, but they heard every last detail. And, you know, talking to these guys 40 years later myself, they remembered a surprising amount of stuff.
Did they win in spite of the lack of harmony, or did that propel them to excellence? Did that harden them?
That's a great question, and I think it propelled them. I think they held each other so persistently accountable that they wouldn't let each other slip. And the key to it was that as much as they hated each other, they always hated the guy at the top of the food chain even more. They had a loathing for Charlie Finley in common. And that kept them bonded even when they were throwing fists.
Wow. We can relate to that a little bit, Marty.
Yeah. No, it's I love it. I just think, and I was here in those days, and I saw many of the games. And the Giants, I saw those games. And I don't know. It was just a magical time. But the story is good because the story is real. And that's what I like about it. Who's the most interesting person you interviewed for the book?
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of interesting characters on this team. The best storyteller by far was Gene Tennis.
Oh, yes.
The hero of the 1972 World Series who came out of nowhere. You know, we sat in a diner in Redmond, Oregon for 4 hours.
Wow.
The guy mainlined coffee, never got up once to use the restroom, put in a plug of chew halfway through, and never spit.
Yes! Yes!
Wow, this guy is a man.
Yes!
Gino. Well,
and he just told amazing stories.
Yeah. Did he tell you about his negotiation on his contract?
With the A's?
Yeah, with the A's. Finley?
They all had lots of that involved tearing up a contract?
Well, the one was he wanted a raise, and Charlie didn't want to give it to him, so Gino said, well, just pay me a year's supply of dog food for my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie said, okay. And he tells the secretary, go out, you know, write the contract up for $20,000 plus a year's supply of dog food for Gene's dog. And she leaves, and about 2 minutes later, he looks at Gene Tennis and says, What kind of dog do you have? He had a Great Dane.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
And I was I have that story on tape somewhere.
Nice. Yeah.
With Gene Tennis.
This is the way that ball rolled. And Raleigh Fingers got a year's supply of mustache wax.
How about Wes Stock? Wes Stock was the pitching coach. And he wanted a raise, and he was there. And Wes Stock's wife drove the bus in the during the playoffs to take the fans, not the fans, but the family from the hotel to the stadium. And Wes Stock's wife, believe it or not, drove the bus. So he said, I'll pay you $15,000, but I'm paying her $5,000. I'm not going to give you the money. And that's the way he dealt. He was crazy.
He was.
I don't want to say crazy, but he was eccentric.
He definitely was eccentric. He gave Raleigh Fingers a year's supply of mustache wax as part of his contract. Daryl Knowles got a hunting dog, let alone dog food, as part of his contract.
Okay. And look at Catfish Hunter.
Yeah.
You know, the nickname. I read that part of the book. It was a great story. You did well with it, how he gave Catfish his nickname. You know, his Jim Hunter was his name. And, of course, they had these tense negotiations, and finally Hunter backed down and took Finley's offer. And then Finley looked at him and said, you need a nickname. And came up with, that he went fishing and came up with Catfish Hunter, which was not his name. His mother hated it. He was Jim Hunter.
Okay.
But Finley made him Catfish Hunter. And from that day forward, Catfish Hunter was born.
Yeah, his mother hated it, especially because the story involved him running away as a child.
That's
and
right.
She said, my boy never ran away.
Right, but he left home and ran away and went fishing.
Big Fish. You seen the movie Big Fish? That's incredible. What about Captain Sal? I mean, that's a hard-nosed dude, Captain Sal Bando.
Captain Sal is the guy that everybody universally respected.
Uh-huh.
And this was a team full of leaders. Dave Duncan put it very succinctly to me.
Yeah.
We succeeded because we had 10 guys on that team who thought they were the leader of the team. But the one guy who all those 10 guys recognized as the leader was Sal Bando.
Wow.
If not liking Charlie Finley kept them together, totally respecting Sal was the other aspect of keeping everybody together.
Would he square up with Reggie? Would Reggie square up on him?
Sal ran it.
No one would fight with Sal.
Because Alvin Dark couldn't run a meat market.
That's true.
I remember he called the Coliseum a mausoleum.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was here for all that. So, Jason, you really hit
nice
it well.
Work.
It's really a good book, and the stories are in there. It's easy to read, and that's
you,
what
Marty.
I like about it. So, and where do you get it?
Anywhere fine books are sold.
Okay.
Booktree in Montclair?
Booktree in Montclair.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know David up there in Montclair. Go up there and you go up and sign a couple and he'll put it in the window. But Dynastic, Bombastic, Fantastic. And it's a real story of Reggie Raleigh Catfish and Charlie Finley Swinging A's. Jason Turbo, Turbow. Now, the other book is still available, The Baseball Codes. And these are the unwritten rules of baseball.
Love it.
That Jason did with Michael Duca years ago.
Yeah.
And I know how much research went into that one because, you always preceded me in talking to somebody.
I remember that.
Yeah, because, I talked to everybody in all my interviews, and Jason or I would see who could get there first to do that.
It was a years-long race to see who could grab the visiting coaches.
But very good. Congratulations, and we're glad to have you on.
Thanks, Marty. Great to be
on. And plus, Jason brought a couple of books, and we're going to give one away today. FP, are we going to give one away?
Yes.
We're
gonna give one away. I think he's got his hands on it. I think FP wants it. You got to share it, buddy.
And then we'll give some away tomorrow.
Great, fantastic.
As well. So if you're coming out to the public house, we'll give one or two away tomorrow. Jason,
cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank
very
you,
good. All right.